What's good, y'all? It's your boy CMJ bringing you another edition of this Total Fandom Fantasy Postseason Synopsis. This time I got That Boy Hurts on tap, owned by SDR, aka known as Ty. I know I said that all fast, but just I said it clear so you could understand me. Anyway, I'm jumping right into it. Ty and That Boy Hurts, this is the second season in the league, and I want to say I'm proud of them, but I am. I'm proud of any team that makes progress. And if you go 7-8 the first season, and then go 8-7 the next season, it's still progress. So I'm proud. And Ty, honestly, Ty this year displayed some football knowledge I wasn't expecting Ty to be this good like this year, and I get it. An 8-7 record, that's what he finished with. 8-7 record wasn't all that great, but Ty put on a show this year. Ty has the potential to take That Boy Hurts and this franchise to some new heights next year. I think this team could be a perennial playoff contender that we don't talk about on a yearly basis, you know. But I think Ty could have That Boy Hurts in his franchise in the perennial playoff contender conversation, just based on how I saw them play out this year. So let me get right into it for That Boy Hurts, who played in the CFL West this year. Played in the CFL West with Smooth Moves, Burrito Supreme, and Team Arrow. Now, coming into the year, Ty drafted a team that we thought was like, okay, not bad, you know. There were pieces on this team that made you think, like, okay, this team can make some noise. Ty drafted a good team. So it was honestly surprising to see this team end with an 8-7 record. In my opinion, in hindsight, this team could have easily finished with 10 wins. So I don't think an 8-7 record is indicative of the kind of season Ty and That Boy Hurts had. I'm going to just say TBH for short. So let me get right into it. Right before the week one match against Smooth Moves, division rival Smooth Moves, they executed a trade to send Gabe Davis to Goat Gang for Michael Gallup, Nico Collins, and Tyler Allgeier. Now, let me sit here and say this in hindsight, because I own Goat Gang. That's me. Do I regret nothing? Okay, I regret nothing. I end the season, I regret nothing. But I would take some things back. Does that mean I regret things? If I would take some things back, does that mean I regret? F it. I do regret trading for Gabe Davis. I do regret trying to bank on that. I do regret it. I regret that. He was awful. He was awful. And you know what I thought? I thought to myself, I shouldn't even be talking about me. I'll talk about me on my episode. Anyway, so TBH traded for Nico Collins, Tyler Allgeier, and Michael Gallup. This was a great trade in hindsight of the season. At the time, it was like, you know, okay, this was solid. You know, Nico Collins hadn't been doing much in his first few years, and Tyler Allgeier was the soon-to-be presumed backup to Bijan Robinson, but still a 1,000-yard back that could prove serviceable if Bijan got hurt or anything, and Michael Gallup played for Dallas. That's why we can say good about him. Anyway, so they got rid of Gabe Davis. This team was already rostering Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Tyler Lockett, Kenneth Walker. So they had like a bunch of players on the same team already. So this team definitely could have used diversity going into week one. They go into the week one matchup against Smooth Moves and they lose 140-99. And not the way you want to start the season, but definitely didn't stop the train from rolling for Ty and TBH. They just rebounded, really. Came back and beat Burrito Supreme 132-77 in the next week. And this is when Nico Collins started to turn some heads, because like, okay, hold on, he put on some points already, you know, like, what? And I'm like, oh, damn, Nico Collins. But anyway, that was already proven to be a really good trade, acquiring Nico Collins for Gabe Davis. So week two comes around, and right before that matchup, Ty executes another trade that sends Kenneth Walker and Tutu Atwell to the Chosen for Samaje Perine and T. Higgins. An awful trade in hindsight, but you know, hey, now say now, people do what they do. So we get around to they made this trade happen, and then in that same week they traded T. Higgins for Garrett Wilson. That's what happened. So at going into week two, this team was rostering Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, and Garrett Wilson at wide receiver, along with just David Montgomery and Tyler Algier at running back. Oh, my bad. And Tyler Lockett, another wide receiver. So the wide receiver depth was here. They had Dallas Goedert at tight end. Logan Thomas was serviceable for half the year. And then Mahomes was leading the way. So the team was really built on Mahomes and the strength of these wide receivers, which is not a bad thing in today's fantasy landscape. Especially we play in a PPR league. And also, we already knew David Montgomery was getting touches behind this Lions offensive line. We just didn't know how much Jahmyr Gibbs was going to eat into that. But here nor there right now. So, Ty started the season 1-2 following the first 3 weeks of the season. So, it was like, did the trades really work out? Well, in week four, yeah. Like, we found out they did. They played Andy Reid's mustache, the league's highest scoring team so far in the season up to that point. And I mean, ending the season, they scored 145 points. And talk about a resounding comeback win to make you 2-2 on the year, to make you 500 on the year. Also, they could have scored way more points in this game. Jerick McKinnon had 0 points in that matchup. That's who they started at RB2 behind, David Montgomery, who had 34, and Stephon Diggs, who had 36, and Nico Collins, who had 35. Oh my God, Nico Collins was so great this year. Just a blistering game from these guys. So after 4 weeks, 2-2, really, you know, the potential is there. It's just, there's just some inconsistencies, you know, especially at the running back position where you don't have a solidified RB1. Now, week five, this, like, Ty was making a lot of moves pre-game, you know, like pre-match, before the match started. So another trade that they executed in week five. So we're at 1, 2, 3 trades. So this is the fourth trade in week five. Tyler Algier and Garrett Wilson for Najee Harris and Tutu Atwell. The same Tutu Atwell that they traded to the Chosen earlier that year. So you got him back and got Najee Harris for Tyler Algier and Garrett Wilson. And in hindsight, this really isn't the best trade, but they did get a notable, well, I guess better than Tyler Algier RB1 in Najee Harris. And they had a wide receiver depth to spare. It just, you know, trying to get a solid RB1 in a 16-team PPR league was going to be really hard, especially if you're going to be rostering Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, two players that other teams are going to want, who are at this time on fire. So they go into week five with the Najee Harris, David Montgomery combo at running back, who had a total of 25.9 points that week. Nico Collins had a down week. Tutu Atwell had a down week. It was just a down week for a few guys. Stephon Diggs showed up, but Tyler Lockett was on bye, and Dallas Goedert was for some reason on the bench. So that could have made the difference, but Ty ended up losing in week five. And so They lost in week 5 and they lost in week 6, excuse me. So post 4 trades and 6 weeks, this team was 2-4. And it really wasn't looking that spicy for Ty and that boy Hurts. And as we're going through this story now, you know, as you guys know, I do this thing. I go through the season and whatnot. I see what happened, and I see, you know, what unfolded. And now, as you guys go with me, anyway. So as we see this story unfold, after 6 weeks, Ty and TBH are 2-4. They're in dire straits, but the CFL West is still up for grabs. So what does Ty do? They execute another trade that sends their star quarterback and their second best receiver on the team at the time, and Nico Collins. So Patrick Mahomes and Nico Collins away to the Beerus Egoists for CeeDee Lamb, Romeo Doubs, and Rashad White. And boy, did this save the season right here. Oh boy, I mean, CeeDee Lamb ended up being the wide receiver 1. This trade, in hindsight, this was the trade that won. Like, this trade saved Ty's season. And I mean, there were other moves that were made, don't get me wrong. Well, I take that back. There was one other move that was made following this. Ty traded Stephon Diggs, Najee Harris, Logan Thomas to Burrito Supreme for Adam Thielen, George Kittle, and Jordan Addison. So Ty was able to dump a lot of midseason dead weight in Logan Thomas, Stephon Diggs, and Najee Harris for Jordan Addison, who was a steady cog in that Minnesota offense. George Kittle, who was a steady cog in the San Francisco offense when healthy. Then Adam Thielen, who was the only real viable wide receiver in Carolina for a good portion of the season. I mean, talk about a real come up for Stephon Diggs, who was, I mean, at the time it was Stephon Diggs, but I think the name alone was garnering so much value in a trade that I, like, you know, I wasn't giving that up. In hindsight, you know, it's not like he got a starting running back, but he already had got one for Patrick Mahomes and Nico Collins, and Ty went ahead and banked on Jared Goff for the rest of the season to take him to the promised land, which, you know, was a solid move. You know, Jared Goff wasn't playing like a bum. He just, you know, played better at home. So week 7 was, like I said, is the week that this team turned it all around. And the lineup that was Patrick Mahomes, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Najee Harris, David Montgomery, that lineup was gone. Like, that whole lineup was different. We talking Jared Goff is the quarterback now. We talking Deontay Foreman is the starting RB1 because Khalil Herbert is out in Chicago with an injury and Roshan Johnson was hurt. We talking Rashad White, who finished as the RB6 this year in PPR. We talking Tyler Lockett, Jordan Addison, George Kittle, CeeDee Lamb, Adam Thielen, Dallas Goedert. That's the team now. David Montgomery still on this team. This team was loaded. This team, 2-4? Please. This team wasn't finishing with no 2-4 record with these guys. And they certainly did not. They certainly did not finish the season with a 6-3 record. Indicative of what kind of roster Ty put together halfway through the season. One in week 7 against Rose Raid, 141-54. Beat Silky Drip 125-38. Beat Team Arrow 117-116. Beat Easy Clap 155-63. Beat Smooth Moves, avenging that week 1 loss, 135-123. Come on now. Woo! They was on fire. Week 7 through 11, on fire. Cooled off in week 12 when they lost the Montgomery Brawl. Lost to the Beerus Egoists, like I said in the previous video, I mean previous audio, you can't win them all, and you won't, even though some teams have come close to doing that. Anyway, key divisional win against Team Arrow in week 14, when the division was still up for grabs, and a tough loss in week 15, but at this point, Ty had already sewn up the division with that week 14 win against Team Arrow, and the Smooth Moves loss in week 14 didn't help Smooth Moves at all, because that was a team that could have won the division if things played out differently those last couple of weeks. But if I talk about Looney Tunes and, you know, and I hate bringing up Marcellus and Looney Tunes in another video, but I talk about a masterclass of roster construction. Ty was on that level this year. Ty definitely was on Goat Gang, Looney Tunes level of roster construction this year. He put it together. He did that thing. And it didn't even come at the Beerus egoist expense. You know, people always talk about, well, not people, but some of the league members talk about how the Beerus egoist makes these trades, and he ends up not the Devon, who owns the Beerus egoist, he ends up not making the postseason or having a bad year because he makes these trades. But Devon ended the year with 10 wins. So, you know, it's not like this trade was a bad trade for both teams. This trade was a win-win, and it just worked out. It was masterfully done by Ty to execute these trades and make the postseason, honestly. So Ty entered the postseason as the 4th seed. As a division winner, Ty, they played the 11-win Beerus Egoist in the first round, to correct myself from earlier. And they won that game 109-83. And I mean, if there were a home game, Ty would have had a home game because he was, you know, division winner. The next round, when they played Goat Gang, they definitely had a chance to be playing in the Fantasy Super Bowl, to have played in the Fantasy Super Bowl. A tough loss, 108-112. Game came down to the wire. I mean, literally, I can just sit here because I'm, you know, I own the team. I can sit here and tell you, I was sweating bullets. That matchup came down to Monday night. Seattle versus Pittsburgh. Tyler Lockett needed, I believe, about 12 points or so to beat me. And Tyler Lockett ended up having 2 points that night, and I was blessed. I definitely could have gotten eliminated in the second round again. But, I mean, like I said earlier, this was an outstanding season. I don't care what the record says for that boy Hurts. 8-7 is not indicative of what this team could have done. I get it. They started the season rough. I get it. They had to make some moves to really find some consistency. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, Ty goes into next season with the same mentality, with the same fundamental knowledge of the game, with the same roster construction process, but applying that to the draft. Man, forget about 8-7. We think, looking at this team, 9 wins on a regular basis, maybe. And I say that to say, like, you know, also how much a team scores in the regular season matters. You know, I know it's just fantasy football, I know it's just point score, but if you're a team that can score and score consistently, it's consistently high, we're gonna tout that. We're gonna count that for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not gonna disparage that. And Ty scored 1,785 points this year, which is the second highest. He was the second highest scoring team this year. That boy Hurts and them boys. Definitely impressive. Yeah. And it definitely was attributed to them trades in the middle of the year. But yeah. Ty and that boy Hurts. TBH, if I had to give them a grade for the year, it'd be objectively, I'm gonna go B plus because 8-7 is still not a good enough record for me to give you an A. I cannot do it. I know I said I didn't care about what the record said, but the record is sitting right there in my face, and I just cannot. 8-7 record. 8-7 record. Nah, I'm straight. Can't do it with the A. B plus though. B plus. Last year it wasn't no B plus, so I think that's pretty good. I mean, you know, you got what? Let's see. What's split with Smooth Moves, split with Burrito Supreme, and you beat Team Arrow, so with that 4-2 divisional record, yeah, I mean, good divisional record, that's why you get the B+. 4-2 divisional record, that's a great way to justify that B+. 8-7 record is a good way to justify not giving you an A-. Even though you second highest scoring points, second highest in points per game, I think that aids the B+. I don't think that helps get an A-. I just think that aids in the B+. A-. I mean, you did get a division title. Does that give you an A-, though? Nah. Some other teams worked too hard, bro. Some other teams worked too hard to have in 11 win seasons. I can't. B+, though. B+, right? 88.8. So, rounded up, it's like a 90. But on me, you got that. You got that on me. So, that's that boy Hurts. Great season. I'm looking forward to them defending that CFL West title next year and really letting the West know that that's his division now, because I mean, Smooth Moves has yet to win the division title in any of the divisions that they've been in. Team Arrow, I don't know if they're gonna rebound from a five win season, because that was a tough way to go out this year. And then Burrito Supreme, no division titles either, so yeah, we'll see about that. Ty and that boy Hurts will probably be my favorite to win that division next year. But we'll see. We'll have to, you know, crunch the numbers and go over the figures and whatnot. And that's that boy Hurts.
Peace.
Catch you on the next one. Peace.